The Escape Pod. Let's go on a trip through time to see what tomorrow will look like yesterday.
Prepare the escape pod for a launch.
Today was yesterday's tomorrow.
Pressurizing.
Where we are now used to be the unimaginable future.
You will.
And today's outdated entertainment used to be yesterday's state-of-the-art.
Power.
Sifting through science fact and science fiction from outdated technology to the birth of the future. Let's get away from it all for a few minutes by going back the way we came into logbook.com's escape pod. The logbook.com's escape pod is charting a course through geek history. I'm Earl Green, and it's time for another look at the factual, the far out, and the foundations of the future. This is what tomorrow will look like yesterday. On this day in 1965, Gemini 3, the first manned launch of NASA's Gemini program, took place. Astronauts Gus Grissom and John Young were the first two-man crew of an American spacecraft, staying in orbit for just over 5 hours.
This is Gemini Control. 15 seconds. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Ignition. And we have a liftoff. We have a liftoff at 24 minutes after the hour. Rising very nicely. Cabin pressure climbing. Yes.
In 2001, the Mir space station, launched in 1986 by the Soviet Union, occupied steadily for 15 years, even after the Soviet Union's collapse, and visited by both Soyuz capsules and American space shuttles, plunged through the atmosphere, burning up over the Pacific Ocean.
Again, to emphasize to people that the Russians have done this time and time again with just the smaller Progress ships, for many, many years, and they have successfully deorbited 5 space stations before.
Mike, I'm going to cut you off. And by the way, we are looking at pictures which came down just a minute ago from the Russian space station Mir, from the Progress attached to it. And some of the last pictures, obviously, we'll see from it. Let's go to Jill Doherty at Russian Mission Control. Jill.
Every single eye was riveted on those last pictures. That is the last view from Mir. Mir, of course, alone in the sky right now, nobody aboard, and on its way to its death in the Pacific Ocean. A very riveting moment when people down who had been involved for so many years with the Mir were looking at that and looking at the last minutes of the Mir.
This remains the largest man-made object ever to re-enter Earth's atmosphere. Efforts to keep Mir up and running for a commercial consortium that envisioned turning it into an orbiting TV studio had failed. In 2004, NASA revealed that not only had the Spirit and Opportunity rovers discovered signs of water erosion on the surface of Mars, but the water may have been a large body of salt water. Born on this date in 1910, Seven Samurai director Akira Kurosawa. In 1912, rocketry pioneer Wernher von Braun was born. His innovations in the field of rocket design led to the huge Saturn V rockets that put men on the moon. In 1967, long before they had their own language or their own cutlery, an episode of Star Trek introduced us to the Klingons.
My government has informed me that the Klingons are expected to move against your planet with the objective of making it a base of operation against the Federation. My mission, frankly, is to keep them from doing it.
What you're saying, Captain, is that we seem to have a choice between dealing with you or your enemies.
No, sir. With the Federation, you have a choice. You have none with the Klingons. The Klingons are a military dictatorship. War is their way of life. Life under the Klingon rule would be very unpleasant.
26 episodes into the original Star Trek's first season, the episode Errand of Mercy, written by Gene Coon, gave Captain Kirk and his crew a much-needed arch-enemy. In 1973, Gene Roddenberry tried to trade in Star Trek's Strange New Worlds for the stranger and newer world of a new series.
My name is Dylan Hunt. My story begins the day on which I died. My last look at my world was to be from inside a pressure chamber at NASA's underground laboratory in Carlsbad Caverns.
Begin pressurizing.
Our goal was the development of a form of suspended animation which would allow our astronauts to make longer voyages through our solar system. It had been my decision that our method was ready to test on a human, so it seemed that any risk should be mine too.
Genesis 2 was Roddenberry's first attempt to launch a new science fiction series that wasn't Star Trek. And while the notion of a man named Dylan Hunt from the present, unfrozen in a post-apocalyptic future, had some potential, this attempt to set up a new series wasn't successful. In 1975, long after Roddenberry himself had abandoned it, Warner Brothers tried to create a viable pilot from the Genesis 2 idea one last time with the obscure TV movie Strange New World.
This is the PAX Space Laboratory. We were working on an experiment in suspended animation. That's me, Captain Anthony Vico. I went from test pilot to astronaut, and now I'm leader of the PAX team.
Having given the concept three tries as Genesis 2, Planet Earth, and Strange New World, Warner passed on Roddenberry's concept, only to see it revived in the 21st century, long after Roddenberry's death, as Gene Roddenberry's Andromeda. You can read about these events and many more on the logbook.com's ever-evolving timeline of geek history. Our latest book, Warp 1, is available now, the logbook.com's extensive guide to the universe of Gene Roddenberry's Star Trek, including the original series, animated series, the movies, the next generation, Roddenberry's one-off TV projects, and much more. You can pick up other original books and DVDs and hundreds of other titles in the logbook.com store anytime. Thanks for listening to The Escape Pod.
Escape pod was written and produced by Earl Kane.